Setup.
Okay.
And so bear
it's
with
working.
Me.
No, it's
working.
Working.
Okay. Oh, let me try something else. Hold on just a minute. Is there echo here?
No, I don't think so.
Ah, there is. Well, I'm going to try this. I'm just being weird with the way I can't use Skype.
Right.
But I can, I'm trying this direct call, but it's set up through my microphone on my webcam. And that means that it's picking up everything in the room. I don't have, like, I have headphones on, so I hear an echo. But if I turn on the sound, like my speakers, then you'll hear the echo from that.
Right. So. Right now it's okay on our end. I don't know how it is for you. So.
You're going to hear all kinds of stuff, I think. I'm just,
well. It's not like we don't hear ambient sound. I mean, you know, we'll just muddle through. I mean, so far you sound okay, so.
Okay. It's distracting for me because I have headphones on, and so I hear the delay.
Oh, God, that's hard. I can't stand that.
I don't know how to fix it yet.
But I don't want you to be uncomfortable doing the show. That I really don't like that, and that's And when you do, like, live radio or live TV, that's how it is, and it's, like, you hear the delay.
Yeah.
If you have a headset on.
Yeah.
I'm
going to try to do something else, but
please.
That means booting up a whole other computer.
I don't want you to be uncomfortable. And I know what that's, it's very frustrating. It's very uncomfortable.
Yes.
I couldn't get through a conference call, and it was like we were joking about it, a Google Hangout, and it was complete echo. It was maddening. So I don't want you to be I know how uncomfortable that is. I really don't want you to be uncomfortable.
Well, let me try something else.
Okay. So you do what you're doing, and I will I'll just keep talking.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So so as I am always in appreciation and mention it whenever I can, as often as I can, because I can't say it enough, is how appreciative I am that my role being part of Universal Energy Radio involves minimal technology. And this is one of the reasons why. Also, both Elisa and Anna are very tech savvy. I am to a degree. But when there's so much going on, really the main reason is that when there's so much going on the Block Talk Radio screen, which looks like Mission Control on crack, and I know it changes, and I haven't seen the new interface in a long time. I hope I never get to see the new interface. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to run the controls and connect to someone's energy, pick up what's going on, do mediumship, pull messages. It just, my brain doesn't work that way. And I think on many shows, there is somebody else managing the controls if one of the hosts kind of energetically, a part of the energy departs for some information to come in. So otherwise, I couldn't do the show. I could run the controls and say, oh, up next you have caller, area code, da 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 da. But I really couldn't do much more. And I applaud both Alisa and Anna because they can be on the controls and give readings and feedback and all of that. I guess for what I do and what it does to me physically and vibrationally, it just isn't the best fit. So I, it's another reason why I wouldn't want to do a show on my own. But the main reason why I wouldn't want to do a show on my own is I love the complimentary nature. Not that we pay each other compliments, because I don't mean it like that, but that our dual energies really cover a spectrum. Basically, she's really, really nice, and I'm a little rough. But she's silk, and I'm sandpaper. But when you put that together, I'm just kidding. When you put that together, we like it like that. So so that's really the main reason. And I'm very excited that in about a month, a little over a month, my son Cole, who's turning 18 in a couple of weeks, and myself are going to Atlanta. We're staying in a hotel that's centrally located. It was chosen by our third co-host, Lolita, and her housemate, Adam, who is phenomenal. They're talking about going back on the air. So once that really happens.
All right.
Yeah,
all
once
right.
that happens. Oh, yeah, because we talk offline all the time. Once that's in motion, then we'll promote their show. But Adam has been a spiritual counselor slash mentor to my son, and the best option, so much more benefit than I feel conventional psychology. Not that I'm overruling that and not putting a value on that. It certainly is very valuable. But in the case for my child finding himself as a teenager and being very spiritually aware, this was the best move to make. And what's so crazy is the last time I was in Atlanta, which was a year ago, September, so I'm due to see y'all. a year ago, September, Lolita had just been prepared to do a Diksha blessing. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's a very sacred art, and it's very profound. And she hosted it in her lovely home, and we also did kind of like a live version of the LOA blend-ish and met many people. We have so many listeners in the Atlanta area that it was so great to come in from New York to meet a lot of you guys. And we are thinking about doing some sort of informal event at her ice cream parlor, which is located in Marietta. So that's exciting. And yeah, it's just wonderful for us to come together. And it's great because it's as if we see each other all the time. That's what I always realize. Like when, you know, I'm here in New York, everybody else is in Atlanta in terms of what makes up Universal Energy Radio. Mm. It's so great that it doesn't really feel that different.
Yeah.
You know, we're just in person, like, oh, yeah, this is what you look like, huh? Right. But other than that, it's really great. It's exactly the same, just being so comfortable. There's no, like, getting used to each other. None of that.
No.
We start. We're right there. Like already. Like, you know, she's silk. I'm sandpaper. Like from like 5 seconds. Five. Like, where's your bag? My bag's right here. Let's go. I'm good.
It really is. It really is funny because
we don't miss a beat.
We don't.
We don't.
And I think we get surprised because we haven't seen each other like usually a year.
Oh, what easy.
When we don't, you know, in between being able to see each other. So
right.
It's really funny because I think we catch ourselves and we crack ourselves up. Because what?
We
are
do.
We fighting?
We're fighting like, oh, yeah, it's the first 30 seconds. Already?
So it is funny.
I love it.
And I'm excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, you are coming into town. And there's so much that, you know, opportunities in terms of, well, where do you want to go? I know last time you got the, you kind of got the Elisa Benglin family immersion, you know. With,
oh, yeah. I was on that tour. It was great.
With seeing everybody and celebrating graduations and things like that. So, I realize I can't, you know, hog you to myself. But
oh,
there are certainly
great.
Different options for you to do, and you can explore Atlanta a little bit more, and obviously spend time with Adam and Lolita as well.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna be very important for Cole to Adam, especially you know,
exactly.
In person. So
it's gonna be great, and they could do things on their own or whatever, because I'm sure for them to meet, and just I have to make sure that my camera is on, and I want to like record them seeing each other for the first time. Because I remember meeting you for the first time. You know, it's like, oh my God. Oh wow. You know, like we know each other, but we know each other. Yeah. So for that, where he's, you know, as a teenager, opening up to someone and who's, he can consider someone who I think Adam is, I don't know, early mid-30s, he's young, somebody who's relatable, who is just a true mystic.
Mm-hmm.
Just a true mystic. And what's so crazy was that when going back to Lolita hosting us and us meeting Adam and all of that. I didn't know Adam from anything. And he was gracious enough to give like little mini readings. And I think I was the last one to meet with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just boom. You know, really nice connection. He gave me the reading. But the last thing he said to me is like, oh yeah, this isn't over. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what you mean, boo boo, but all right. Okay. And not even 2 weeks later, I'm like, I'm getting back in contact with him saying, now I know what you mean, because my son really needs somebody to talk to, and I want him to work with you as his counselor, because the conventional route ain't going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And often, and we know because we do this on the air, we do it privately, often it really ends up being more cost effective.
Yeah.
And short term. I mean, I have friends that are still seeing the same high end therapist 10, 15, 20 years.
Right.
Like,
right.
Wow, you're paying somebody's rent. Like, good for you. Wow. And a dear, dear friend of mine is one of New York City's top psychologists. I'm like, girl, I'm glad I'm your friend and not your client, because I see all of you. I have dirt on her, I mean, in a great way, you know. and very respected and relies on having a steady flow. I mean, it's a business. And
right.
She's brilliant. And what's great when I have, and one of the most non-spiritual people you'll ever meet. So she knows nothing about this side of me, and she is a staunch atheist, which is hysterical. So she has no idea. We were very close, very, very close. And because she's such a reactionary, it's like, why would I even bring this up? And you wouldn't even know to ask me about other parts of my life. You know, you always want to know about, like, you know, how many siblings and what birth order was I, okay? So, and you could be friends with people for a long, long, long time, and if you, it just doesn't make sense to reveal, I mean, I'm sure people would disagree, I just don't think it doesn't make sense to reveal every part of you if it's not going to be, if it's not going to be recognized or acknowledged. You don't have to agree or whatever, or just respected.
Mm.
You know, it would, yeah. Why? Or that people don't understand that we're not really monetizing in a linear way from doing the show 6 years and three times a week. Well, that's their problem. You know, are you still getting an echo?
No, are you?
No, I'm just talking.
Okay.
I'm freestyling on the mic.
No, no, no.
So,
what,
okay.
No. Well, I've figured out a workaround. So,
okay.
It's all good.
Yay!
It's all good for right now. Though now I don't always have steady access to the chat room. So I'll try to peek in there every so often.
But we can suspend that for right now, actually, or have a, you know, we'll have an occasional peek into the chat room, but more importantly is Elisa's not hearing any feedback or an echo so that we can do what we do here in the LOA blend.
And we do have a hand raised.
Okay, and I do want to mention today actually is going to be a work day for me, so
okay.
10 o'clock has to be a firm exit. Just
sounds
FYI.
Good.
Okay, great.
Sounds good.
Yeah, let's take the call.
Okay, let's get over here. This is area code 203. Good morning, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Pat.
Pat, are you a first-time caller?
I am.
Wow, well, thanks for finding us.
Welcome.
Yeah, we're pretty calm right now, so sometimes we get a little wacky on the LOA blend, but it's all good. So the first thing, Pat, is asking for permission to connect to your energy, please.
Yes, please do.
Okay, and not the year. Okay, do not provide the year, but the month and the date of your birth, month and date?
7/12.
Okay. So Elisa, who is amazing at everything that she does, will be doing a calculation. And real quick, what are you needing today? What's on your mind?
I've got pretty severe depression and anxiety because I've been struggling with trying to put together a few different types of jobs just so I can manage to pay the rent.
Mm.
And this past couple of days really hit me hard.
Right. And it hits you where you feel that there's so little to go around that it's almost like there's not even enough air in your lungs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I just had something set up for an interview for a dog walking for a couple of months.
Okay.
Every day. And I got a text. She canceled. And I don't know if she's just going to brush me off or if she really means she'll get back to me.
Well, the good news is that you were booked. Things fall through all the time. That's the law of averages, the same way that you stub your toe.
What'd you say?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. No, my mic was in the wrong place. My bad. So look at the good news that you were hired for something. You were hired. Can you just a yes or no? Were you not hired for something, regardless?
Well, I was going to meet her for hiring, possibly. Yeah.
Okay, so she canceled just the job interview.
Yes.
Okay.
She said I'm canceling. I'll get back to you, but. You know,
okay, look, that's it. Let's not read into somebody who's not talking to us on the air right now. We're talking to you, right?
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay. So would you agree, yes or no, that you had an appointment to meet with somebody for an interview, yes or no?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. So see how that feels better than all this other stuff? The fact is that at some point in time was true.
Yeah.
People cancel stuff all the time. The same way that you know there'll probably be another occasion in your life that you're going to stub your toe. Would you agree, yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all this is. Now, for anxiety, which I feel in some of us is more, we have more for sensitivity or predisposition to it.
Yeah.
Yes or no, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So we have a hypersensitivity, and I would imagine, I would take a good guess that you are very strong in terms of feeling empathy. Yes or no?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you're a true empath. And I feel that it's the empathy is anxiety turned inside out and vice versa. Does that make sense? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason why I say that is so that you have empathy and compassion for yourself, which is the antidote.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
And I'm saying yes or no questions with you, Pat, because I am doing this energetically on purpose so that we're not going to go off in all these tangents.
All right.
We're making it about you and your resilience because you're still here. Are you not still here, yes or no?
I don't want to be here.
What do you mean you don't want to be here? What does that mean?
It means I'm broken. I've given up hope. And I honestly, I'm here because I don't want to do anything to destroy my son. I mean,
you're staying here. So the only reason why you are choosing to be alive is because of your son?
You know what? I mean, I don't want to. I'm still. The struggle is exhausting.
It is.
And I've got nothing left in me, but I'm still hanging on.
And let's acknowledge that you are hanging on because that's the part of you that is disproving everything else.
But I've hung on for years.
Right.
And the past number of years have just gotten worse and more and more difficult.
I want to just ask Elisa over here about speaking on Pat's personal year. So that might have an impact. And Pat, do you find that sometimes along with the depression that it's kind of like it's either if you're not depressed, you're anxious, or you're not anxious, you're depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is going to sound really kind of weird, but you know how getting anxious or having anxiety is usually triggered by an outside event?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So you know, like you get that phone call, you get that bill, you hear that comment, or something else gets added. Another curveball gets added, and all of a sudden, it's like the shortness of breath and the sweating, and you feel out of your body. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Believe it or not, and this is really affordable, eat an apple. Eating an apple subsides anxiety.
I try to do that. I didn't know it subsides anxiety. Is applesauce okay, or do I need to eat the apple?
Look, whatever you got, but if you can get an apple at some point, so that and you take it as medicine, I want to tell you about a book, and you don't have to get it now, but when things get better, and I'm telling you, things are getting better. I'm going to just let you hear that. You can agree, disagree, but things are getting better.
Okay.
But I want you to Google the name Anthony William. And you can look at all this information online, but he uses food as medicine.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I have very low-grade anxiety, and I think one of the reasons why I have it is so that I could be completely connected to having conversations with wonderful people such as yourself.
Okay.
You understand? Because I have a bit of a clue. So when I get on the verge of like, uh-oh, here I go, I'm short of some, and I know, and I recognize the triggers and the physical symptoms, I eat an apple. For depression, I take one dried apricot every day like medicine. And I'm learning this stuff through this guy. He has a podcast. He's on iTunes. He's on Hay House. He has a blog. Start investigating him. And another teacher that we talk about a lot on this show is he's very unconventional, but we think he's really cool. He's kind of out there in a really great, real people kind of way, because this is not an airy-fairy show. If you want airy-fairy, you called the wrong show. We're just real people trying to get through the day.
Okay.
Okay, his first name is Matt, and his last name is Kahn, K-A-H-N.
Okay.
So he would describe, I would guess, and Elisa, let me know if this is accurate. He would describe what you're going through as a cycle of grief because you are at your point of awakening. So it's too complex, and I don't want to speak for a teacher who I respect, but that there's a reason for feeling like it's like you have to die before you die, metaphorically speaking. Like the old paradigm has to go for the new to come through. And I want Elisa to jump in, but I hope some of these things between what I just said and what you're going to hear from her will at least give you another way of looking at things. But that pain... Go ahead, sweetheart.
I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm not.
No, but you started to say that pain. I'd like to hear that. Anthony Williams, is he the medical medium?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And you started to say that pain?
That pain is so real. It's as real as the features on your face.
Yeah.
So we're not, and it's a part of who you are right now. To get you to this point, because this is what I'll leave you with, Pat, it's the most effective way to get your attention because it hurts so damn much. And I don't think that you would have had the presence of mind to pick up the phone and call this rinky-dink radio show on a Sunday morning unless there was a part of you that wanted to hear a different story. I'll leave it at that. I'm going to turn this over to Lisa.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Pat, adding up your birth date, it makes sense. Your personal year in numerology, we have a cycle that goes 1 through 9. You just got out of a 9 year in the beginning half of this year, and you entered the number 1 year on your birthday. So we're dealing with like an overlap of endings and beginnings. And I would say, especially for someone with a birth date like that, it's a July birth date. You're astrologically speaking, Cancer. So there's a lot of emotional wisdom and power in that particular sign. And it also, as Liz is also a Cancer, has uncovered, you know, you're also an empath. There's a lot of things that you take in.
And you take in for others as well. So the sensitivities are very high. And
I take in what as well?
Taking in whatever's around you in terms of energy, feelings, just, I feel like if you're super sensitive, you don't want to go to a big crowd of people. I would say even if it's, really heightened, if it's like a concert or a sporting event, and there's a time when that was okay to go to and take that in. And now it's like, you want to be able to protect yourself or feel like there's a little bit more control over the types of people that are going to be around you. So when we talk about being sensitive, I tend to see it more when it's, or feel it, because I'm also pretty sensitive, just feel it more when there's a large group of people. And I know I'd rather either be alone or just be with other people who are a little more calming and not as restless, because I can feel restless on my own. So I don't want to, ramp myself up. It's not even that you have to do anything. It's just like having a bunch of feelings tossed on you. And you can either, I think usually what happens is you try to match it. You try to match that outside energy, because you want to feel like you belong, or feel like, oh, I'm doing stuff. Or yeah, it's the exact opposite. Like, I know I don't have the energy for it. I don't want to do it. And I would say around this time of year, it's like everyone's all, oh, happy holidays and, cheery and all that stuff. And on one level, that's understandable. But on another level, and the reality of it is, a lot of people are, they take it in, and it's like it reminds them of all the stuff they don't have, and it can be really overwhelming, that fakey kind of, oh, everyone has to be of good cheer, when you don't feel that.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying, being in tune with not only the energies around you, but just owning what's within you as well. And, if you're, I wouldn't say just because if you're feeling depressed or if you're feeling anxious, but it's like an understanding of where you are right now. And so you can choose to be around a bunch of crazy people, loud people, or you can choose to do something else, to look for maybe one or two people, I'm just sort of throwing out some things for you, because when we talk about, in numerology, a 1 year, number one personal year, it is, as you would think, being number one, starting over in a sense of a new beginning, is usually what we introduce with this number one energy, the number one vibration. But it's not a linear thing necessarily, time or how we evolve is usually cyclical. It's a cycle or a circle. So when we deal with we go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you came out of a 9 year. So but the past 9 years, in a sense, were a period of your life where you went through growth, development. There were parts of you that had to fall away. There were new parts that came in, and we talk about parts in a very broad sense, parts in terms of aspects of your life, emotions, it could be things, just things, of ways of thinking. So when we talk about changing up things and how things have to move through a cycle, what you just came through, this number nine and then the past 9 years, you clearly went through a lot where you mentioned this, where it's been difficult. You've had a lot of different struggles. And so this, when we go from, a personal year into another personal year, I base it on your birthday. So that's why I picked July. It tends to stand out a little bit more when you're also looking at, a time frame in your life from birthday to birthday. So whatever you were doing a year ago, you're still in this number nine year. The nine is about endings and conclusions. It's about, nine has to do with looking at the bigger picture. And as you've grown and now you start to take stock of what you're doing now, you have, I would say, it's bittersweet, because we can kind of judge ourselves and look at ourselves in different ways and think, oh, well, I was able to do that, but look at all this other stuff. We tend to do it on a more harsh level because we're our own worst critic. But you did get through this year, that year of endings, conclusions, the bigger picture, and realizing more than likely, like most people, is that you're ready for something different. It's almost like the end of a regular year, a calendar year. Usually, like in December, we're in December. People are like, oh, I'm just so ready for this year to be over. I'm ready for something new. I'm ready, with the hope of 2017 being something different. And the thing is, we say all that, and the intention is there, but it's us within that has to make those changes. So that's why I present it in this way of going from an ending into a new beginning, because that's pretty much what you've done. And then there are always going to be some overlap. There are always going to be some loose ends that still will need your attention. But the thing to do here is to pivot in some way so that there is more to look forward to than there is to look back upon and feel like you haven't done anything or nothing's come of it.
Yeah, that's it. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. I think
it's
part of the depression. I honestly, that's exactly right. There's...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's something that everybody who goes through depression, there's that really dark point where it's so dark and you don't see any way out. And it's interesting because I feel like a lot of people can agree that they've all kind of felt that to some degree. And yet you're still here. So, and I don't take it lightly at all. I don't take it's interesting to use that phrase lightly, because that's really what is needed, is lightness. A sense of relief. So even a little bit of light in that dark space can seem a beacon. It can seem there's something there that I can look towards and feel like that's the direction I need to go.
Yeah.
And so that is the light that you are looking for. And in a way, you're going to respond to that when it comes to your choices. Because you do have choices. I mean, there's a choice to decide not to be here. There's a choice to say, well, I don't really want to check myself out completely because I have this being, I have this child, this son that is important to me.
Yeah.
And that's an extension of you. That's part of you in that. So you're not giving up. You may feel like it, but ultimately I would say even having this conversation shows that there is something to look forward to. There is something, I don't like to use the word fight, or, I have something to fight for, but sometimes you have to get through that, to that feeling. Sometimes from depression, which I had a mentor say depression is just anger, kept down. So it's like kept inside, inverted. So there's a way to express that so it's not keeping you down, but it can come off as being very angry. It's like you can't skip that. You can't skip 3 or 4 steps in your process of evolution. As much as it would be nice to do, there are going to be certain levels that are going to be just as awkward. Or let's be honest, it's going to feel really uncomfortable. And then it goes to being just a little awkward. And then it goes to feeling a little more freeing, or maybe just from awkward to relief. To get being a little more freeing, and then at some point you realize, wow, I made it through that. And it's not going to be one thing. It'll be a lot of different things, because when you are in the dark, if you're really like at a point where you're maybe panicking, you're maybe reaching out for anything. just to make sure. It's almost like, well, am I making the right decision? Even that, you're sort of reaching out. And by reaching out physically, sometimes your hands are out, but also emotionally, you're putting your feelers out. If you put it out there enough, you're going to find something that will either pull you through or make you decide otherwise. And I think that you're at that point where, you know, yeah, I know we can meet Liz and I can feel it. It's exhaustion.
Yeah.
But you're reaching out. You wouldn't have called us otherwise. And we're probably not the only people, or maybe not even the only show. I don't know. But you're reaching out and you're trying to find answers. So, you know, I'm hoping we can show you some aspects where the choice ultimately is always going to be yours. But showing you some reasons why it's worth it. Because,
yeah.
One, you're stronger than you think you are. And I would say people who go through major depression, they have a lot of strength within them. They haven't tapped into that yet, you know, or feel so awkward to use it that they just don't think it's worth it. But obviously there's value, there's worth within you. Go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I hear this and I understand it and it makes sense, but people don't realize that this has been going on my whole life.
It's a it's a chemical imbalance. Like, none of this is your fault. And I know you know
but
that.
But I mean abuse and being sent away to mental hospitals because I didn't fit in and being put through 28 sessions of electric shock treatment because I'd get angry at my doctor who gave me my medicine, and a million things, 1,000 things through my life, and I've survived them all and gone through all of them and died through all of them and come back again and found hope again. But this time, this is awful. This is worse than all the others. So many. And I'm getting old and I'm tired and I mean, we know
we're not saying anything to you that you haven't heard before. We know that.
No, it doesn't make sense that I'm struggling so hard and I've only gotten to a worse place of all these years of my whole lifetime.
If you were to speak as an empath, if you heard this from a stranger that just felt that you were approachable at a train station or any place, it doesn't matter, what would be the first thing that you would say to them?
I'm sorry to say this, but I understand. Yeah, I understand if you want to go.
And you know what? Own that then. Own that you understand. Own that right now you're done.
I have been owning it, and I have, like you said, for the holiday season, I'm pretty awful. I'm not hiding my feelings anymore. I'm coming off angry and not very nice. I'm in the middle of being very real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not pretty.
No, none of this is pretty. But this is your dark night of the soul, but you probably feel like you've had 100 dark nights of the soul.
I know. When I'm told this is my dark night of the soul, then I think that I've had 1,000.
Yeah.
So why is this different? You know, what makes this any different? You know,
that you're really embracing it.
Do you think?
Yeah. Why would you talk to two strangers on the radio?
I'm desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I also believe in people like you.
Well, because you are, you know, it's not like people like us. You, we're more alike than you would even imagine.
Yeah.
So it's what your contribution is going to be. And it would be amazing for you to chronicle your journey.
Maybe someday. I don't have the energy now. And, you know, in the midst of this, I have to struggle to try and find work just to survive, you know?
Right, of course.
And it's not coming through.
Have you gone to social services or gotten, like, food stamps or anything like that?
Yeah, all that. Ability and food stamps, and I'm trying to supplement it, and it's just, it's happening slow. I have gotten some reactions, but...
Well, then you know what? You got to anchor on that.
Yeah.
You got to anchor on that I've gotten some reaction, because you said that really fast, and we're going to hit the pause button there. Can you just say I've gotten some reaction?
I've gotten some reaction. I have even gotten some work.
So there we go. Let's just stay with that.
Okay.
Let's just stay with that because in a sense, and it's not your fault, it's a reflux from what you were taught your whole life, and I'm so sorry. Okay? What you were taught your whole life was just to, let's just skim through anything that's good or anything that shows a thread of value.
Yeah.
See how you just rush right through that? That's your conditioning. That was learned behavior. So it's time to do a pattern interrupt. Okay? So we know this. We know how miserable the situation is. Why focus on that? Pay attention to not the story, but the glory. Okay, pay attention to the little glimmer, the little sparks that are trying to come in, that you breeze by so fast that wind created by you breezing by blows it out. And just know that things happen. There are other human beings that are just as depressed as you are trying to figure it all out. Maybe the chick with the dogs, maybe she was really depressed and couldn't get herself together to meet up with you to interview you about walking the dogs. And also, are you in a city environment?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew that. Okay, great. Walking, dog walking, everybody needs a dog walker. I live in New York. I see these people. I'm like, go ahead. They're making their money. Good for them. Or they're walking 4, 5, 6 dogs.
Right.
And they remind me of Caesar, what's his name, with the dogs are in the pack. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. That is such a great marketable skill. Everybody needs that. And it takes a special skill set. I would think that you're probably really good because the dogs don't give you the dogs are actually very therapeutic for you to be around.
Yeah.
Because they're not dealing with all this. Dogs aren't depressed. They just keep it moving.
Right.
They're not self-conscious.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. So I have a great thing to teach you. So every no leads to a yes. So even your rejection of your life right now leads to the yes of who you are, which is an oddity that you would pick up the phone and talk to us. It's physics. Every no leads to a yes. So you dust yourself off, and you hustle to walk those dogs. A lot of people go away this time of year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Look, I'm not a fan of the holidays either, and I make a joke out of it because I'm really a closet Scrooge because of the reasons that we talked about and whatever, but I have kids myself, and, you know, and every year I'm like, oh, do we have to do the tree? And my 11-year-old looks at me like, Mom, every year you say this. I'm like, okay, I'm okay. And then I really don't drink the Kool-Aid of all the nonsense with the holidays, but I find odd ways that are non-conventional to appreciate them.
Yeah.
My own kind of private little journey. And I know you're weighed down by this struggle and all of that, but even if you wrote one sentence a day, just one sentence, like tomorrow, write one sentence. I don't care what it is. The next day, write two sentences. The third day, write three sentences. Just get, you probably have one of your kids, you know, unused spiral notebooks in the house. I'm not saying go and get anything. You probably have something. I bet you'll find something that's just there in the house. And every day, just add another sentence. And it's not like your great work, your book, your this, your that. This is another way to ground your evolution.
What am I writing about?
Whatever the hell you want, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Whatever comes to you, one sentence. The next day, two, it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to connect. But this is to ground yourself, because this is the tipping point. You would not have called us. This is the tipping point where you're just going to look at things a little bit different. And as long as there's life coursing through your soul and the sun rises as it does every day, there's possibility.
Okay.
That's it. You could write, you know, hickory dickory dock. It doesn't matter. There's just stuff that needs to come out. So this is not anything for anyone to look at, anything to. This is actually like occupational therapy. This is to show you that you have the absolute creativity, ability, and wherewithal to express yourself. And you are making this so possible that you have no excuse.
Okay.
Just for you. And just, you know, okay, girlfriend couldn't meet you for the dog walking. Somebody else will. People need that. It's good, honest work, and it's really suitable as a therapeutic way to make money. So I think that's really, really smart. And for you to look for part-time work, and this is just coming in energetically, okay, because I think the dog thing can be your own little business. So I'm saying look for part-time. I think you could really turn this into something. But to look for part-time work in a related field. Like they have like, I mean, I don't know what city you're in, but I live in New York, and I'm like, damn, this doggy hotel. Excuse me? This dog is like living better than me. Like they have all these like boutique-y kind of dog type of places. And I've seen, there's one that I walk by, and I see this person that works there, and she is having the time of her life. They have like a gated area, and she's playing with the dogs. And just set that intention that you can monetize what you love to do, because I think you love to do it.
Well, I'm actually an animal portrait artist, and I'm trying to get that going too.
There you go. Thank you. There you go.
My son just made a web page for me, and
thank you.
I have to say, my teacher told me I've got to raise my prices. I raise my prices. People ask, and they say I can't afford it. And I just met a woman who edits a magazine in New York City, and she said, give me your web page. I'll send it to my social media people. I need wealthy. Yeah.
There you go.
I need a break.
You know what? Those are breaks.
Yes.
So recognize, because, well, listen, let me say something. I get a little tough love on this show because you can take it. By saying that I need a break, you're telling the universe that those aren't breaks. You're pushing them away.
No, I'm including that. I'm saying exactly that. Those things that I just mentioned are breaks, and
good.
I need that. And
good.
I need,
got it.
I need more. Yeah. Yeah.
And also, trust. Trust source. You acknowledge, oh, that's great. Okay, this is great. Okay, and instead of I need more, I want to protect this ember of hope.
You know what happened? I bought this big calendar so I can sit down and schedule everything. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a few house cleaning jobs too.
Good.
And I looked at, all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, it's the first. I had to come up with money to pay rent, and I'm looking at the calendar and it's almost empty, and that's what set me off, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it will take, like I said earlier, it will take that one thing to put you in that spiral.
Yeah.
is there any way for you, I mean, the laws are on the side of tenants. Is there any way emergency assistance? Is there, you know, there, you got to get creative.
Oh, I am. I just applied for cash assistance, and they awarded me $54 a month. This state is pretty bad with this kind of stuff. I'm doing everything I can. So
okay, so you're talking. Is there like any remote friend, any remote family member?
Well, I'm trying to resist asking my son for money. He's already helped me, and I really, really don't want to ask him again, but I may have to.
And that's okay. Look at what he did. He did your website.
Yeah.
Oh, you're showing intent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then why don't you, so that you'll feel better, why don't you, on your calendar or whatever with him, just say, or whatever, just talk about it, a payment plan.
Okay.
To pay him back. And then you'll feel better.
Okay.
That's what you need to do. So we're going to leave you because we have 4 minutes.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all your time.
Listen, Stranger Danger, you better give us a call back.
I will.
And give us an update whenever. No pressure, just whenever. But I already know, because I feel it, that your energy has slightly pivoted.
Yes.
In this call.
Yes.
And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we do this show. So you have a fabulous rest of the day.
Thank you so much, both of you.
Eat that apple, girl. And if not, just go right now. Eat some applesauce right now. And,
I'm going to the store today to get apricots, too.
Dried apricots. Just before you go to the store, just go and peruse his blog and stuff. Because there's a search bar, and you can put in anxiety, depression, certain things, the sweet potatoes. It's crazy. As food as medicine. And
food,
it will raise
what?
It's food as – just if you Google him, Google for his blog, and on his blog there's a search bar. And you
the
can,
medical medium?
Yeah, just Google him. Anthony Williams.
Yeah, I see him on Facebook. I follow him. Thank you.
Yeah. And go on – but go on his blog, okay?
Okay.
And you can do a search – for specific conditions like anxiety and depression before you go to the store. Because I would say dried apricot, I would say apples, and I would say sweet potatoes and bananas. Okay? But look, go on his site before you go to the store.
Okay. Thank you.
All right,
you
my love.
Thanks so much.
All right, yeah.
Thank you both.
You're not going no place. Get out of here.
Thank you.
All right, darling. Take care.
Thank you for calling. Take care.
Thank you. Girl.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, and I really, if it's okay, we don't really have time for another call, and I would really love to have, like, a little wrap-up just to talk about this. So
yes.
Is there anybody in the queue?
No.
Good. Okay. So right there, just to the way, what a wonderful way to wrap up the show with, you know, we are having a little technical situation at the beginning and just sort of talking about, you know, there's no rhyme or reason, but to do the show on our terms for how we serve as it serves us. And Pat, whether you're listening or not, you gave us a gift because that's proof positive right there that from – we went every place on this phone call. We went every emotion, we felt it together.
Mm-hmm.
We laughed, we cried, and everything else in between. That's the point. That's priceless. That's abundance. And by having Pat call in, Pat, if you're listening, you probably help like 10, 15, 20 people. By having the balls, the cojones, to share who you are. So eloquently and so raw and so honestly. So right there, she's serving without even thinking about it.
Right.
Right there. That's the ripple effect on our little Rinky Dink radio show. That's why we do what we do. That's a gift. That's a gift because that is some heavy, heavy raw emotion that was tempered a little bit. So we'll sign off because I got to go to work today. So you want to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. We are back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Thank you for a wonderful conversation, Pat. Thank you, darling. We thank you.
Yes.
And in the meantime, remember to
follow
the feeling
to you.
Love you. Have a wonderful day.
Love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That you like.